Hi, everybody. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. Thank you for joining me for today's episode. We have a lovely guest joining us today. Ina Sehgal is here. She is an internationally recognized intuitive healer, a best-selling author, and a pioneer in grounded practical spirituality. For more than 20 years, she's studied both Eastern and Western esoteric traditions. She's the author of The Secret Language of Your Body and her new book, Understanding Modern Spirituality, is available now, and it bridges ancient wisdom with her contemporary insight. And I'm really excited to have you here. So thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I wanted to start this off just, in regards to the title of your book, Understanding Modern Spirituality. So talk to me a little bit about that. Like, what are some of the differences you think between modern spirituality versus maybe kind of like the intro of New Age spirituality, which is, some time ago now.
I think that in modern spirituality, the idea is that we have freedom to choose, but there's also a level of depth that we connect to from the ancient teachings. But bringing it into the modern world, into how do I go through all the challenges that the modern world presents, but also not just skim over things or become extremely rigid and get lost in that rigidity. How do I create that internal flexibility and keep taking steps forward, but with the depth that came before me, but using that depth, I guess, from the perspective of a newness that is here that we can't get away from, like the AI and everything that is showing up in our world that was not there before, but is definitely there now. And so I think that's what it's about for me, essentially, how to still be wise and deep and strong with everything that is showing up, and not just ignore it or hide from it.
So your book, for me, when I've had the chance to, read some of the chapters, some of my biggest takeaways, like you said, this is written for a modern audience, right? And there's been, from my personal experiences, like some ebbs and flows of what New Age spirituality is. We'll just use that term because I think people understand that. And I've kind of noticed, I would like to say, some changes over maybe like the past 5 years, but at the same time, not really. You see some of the same terms like recycled, repackaged, but like you said, there isn't as much depth. It's still kind of materialistic, like on the surface. And you're not seeing a lot of conversation that is more transformative.
Yeah, and I just think that, if we go back to maybe the 70s, where this whole New Age movement really gained that momentum, right? There was a real momentum that was happening, and you had a lot of people talking about things that maybe were spoken about earlier, but in a watered down way. And this watering down, which I feel like in the esoteric circles is seen as the gray area, right? So it's like we have the white brotherhoods, we have the dark, and then we have the gray. And this gray area where we want to simplify everything, right? We want to take something that has so many layers, so much depth, and present it to people in a way that is so watered down that anyone can essentially digest it and understand it. But at the same time, what people don't realize is how much it weakens and blunts your soul. And And then the more we do it, the more people will go, oh, okay, so this is what spirituality is. Great. I don't really have to study. I don't have to develop. In fact, I think with the whole movement around a lot of channeling and things like that, people have gone, well, I can be really stuck and sick and anxious, and then I'm just going to become enlightened instantaneously, or some being will channel through me without me having to do any of the preparatory work that initiates used to do in the past. And even the word initiation has become something very different than it used to be, right? It used to be a purification, like you've got to be disciplined, you've got to do the work, you have to be very, you have to live in a very particular way, whereas now initiation is doing a 2-day Reiki course.
I 100% agree. I'm laughing because I was kind of reading something about this the other day, very similar to what you're saying. When we think about like any sort of personal development or deeper like inner transformative work, it has been very watered down. So just one example, ayahuasca. I feel like that might sum it up, like an ayahuasca. And I'm not, trying to at all like discredit that plant medicine. I understand it has its place, but it's so over reduced and simplified that, oh, I went on a 2-day ayahuasca trip, therefore I'm quote unquote enlightened. And, there's no other actual change, no work, like you said, no commitment to some sort of inner transformation. So it's really interesting to see how I think, and again, I'm going to say this community, if you will, has changed since the 70s and what is transformed into today. And I know this is a broad statement and it doesn't impact everybody, but there are trends.
Well, I agree. And I did put some stuff into my book around that, around the fact that, well, firstly, I come from Eastern Europe originally. So the whole idea of shamanic work is very, very familiar to me. And I've met shamans who are, living in Eastern Europe and are not famous. And they have taught me, that things like ayahuasca, for instance, or any of the plant medicines were actually given to people who were prepared and who spent years and years and years in the past preparing themselves for that type of an experience. And that in reality, in the ancient traditions of it, you may have had ayahuasca twice in your whole lifetime, not every month, like what people are doing now, and not 30 days in a row in an Amazonian experience that completely destabilizes your mental, emotional, and will centers, and potentially opens the door to all sorts of beings that can then, start to connect into that physical body, which I've seen over and over and over again. And it's almost like, to me, and I wrote this in Understanding Modern Spirituality, it's like there is this spiritual doorway, and rather than being invited into this door, because you have been prepared and you've prepared yourself and you've worked on it and you actually have some kind of understanding about the spiritual world, and that there are higher beings and that there are lower beings, and they can influence you in very, very different ways. You actually learn nothing and you beat the door down without any awareness, any preparation, any understanding who you're dealing with. And you say that this is spiritual, and to me, it's, as you said, it's almost like we have to say it now, that yes, there's this place for it, and there's, and there's certain people who have profound experiences with it, but there's more people from, my experience that actually don't have these profound experiences that others talk about, and they get shocked and they get stunted and they don't actually grow the way that they were meant to grow if they didn't do it in that particular manner. In fact, if they slowed down and didn't need everything instantaneously and took the time to prepare, and allowed the desperation for the spiritual change and the spiritual experience to happen naturally when they were truly ready for it. And I think that in some ways we have lost that, that depth and the discipline and the capacity almost to slow down and do things slowly. Because if we go back to that New Age philosophy, or even the philosophy that so many famous people in the New Age kind of industry are saying, which is, the people who became very famous very quickly essentially did nothing for it. They just had anxiety, and somehow they went through this darkness, nobody knows how. And the next day they were enlightened. Well, I have difficulty believing that, to be honest. And I've met quite a few of these people, so I have even more difficulty believing it because I've met them. And number two, we have the whole idea of psychedelics, and that now people who are, in the position where they may have, and I like some of their work as well. I'm not going to mention names, but essentially, I like that they talk about trauma and understanding trauma from that medical or, kind of perspective where people can hear more about it. But they're also now pushing psychedelics in such a big way. And, I'm not saying that people have not been helped by them, but I'm also saying that there's just not enough understanding of how they actually work, and the beings, and there's 100%, there's beings that are involved in the psychedelics. And I feel like there's, again, there are people that are coming from one perspective, which is the medical, and they don't necessarily understand the spiritual because they're not open, or they don't go deep enough into that understanding. And then there are people who are more kind of new agey spiritual, and they don't understand necessarily how the body, like how the body is actually made up. So they don't understand the soul. So they don't necessarily recognize that we have these three centers that are intertwined together, and that when you take any type of psychedelic and you start to separate them, that there's consequence that can happen, and that consequence can be quite big. And also, they don't really realize that when we have spiritual beings that are involved that did not invite you into the process, you are not ready, you have not been prepared, then there is a price that you have to pay. And the price is an aspect of your soul. And this is why I talk about in my book how so many people's souls are actually numbed. And so when your soul is very numb, you cannot tell the difference between truth and half truth. You just can't. You don't know how to. You don't have that refinement within yourself to recognize that. And so once you open the doors with no foundation, no understanding to those types of worlds, there is a lot of danger. And the danger is not just imminent in a sense of like, well, we're numb anyway, so who cares, right? That's kind of how the New Age functions from my perspective, because I've been around it and I've seen it. The issues are much, much deeper on a spiritual level, because then you have what happens when the physical body passes over? Like, where does your soul go? And when a person's soul becomes numb, the challenge on a longer, deeper level, if we're open to the idea of multiple earth lives, is that when the soul is numbed or dumbed down, it doesn't necessarily go through all the right or healthy or evolved channels or parts of the spiritual world. And it can actually either not enter them or be held back or go into much darker places. Or even if it does go through the right parts of the spiritual world, essentially it can be kind of held back and essentially waiting on, the periphery. It's probably the easiest way to say it, rather than going through the process, because it, when it was here on Earth, it experienced the its purpose, and it went through the levels of transformation and purification and depth that it needed to. So because we have all of this new agey ideas that essentially make the soul weak, we then have an issue of people, of souls going through the spiritual world and not getting the depth and the nourishment they need. And then coming in, and this is what we're seeing with so many children with nervous system disorders, with immune system disorders, with a much, much weakened capacity for thinking and for, for holding information, for memory, for depth. So, because this is happening, this is showing us that we're not connecting to spirituality in the way that we're meant to at this time.
Why do you think so many souls are numb today?
Because of our education system. And, I've looked at many different systems of education because I have two children, and that's been an interest in terms of how do we work with the different timelines. Because essentially, when a child is developing, every stage of development is so important. And if that stage is numbed, missed, ignored, pushed away, then we have problems. We have people who don't have, the capacity for deeper wisdom, deeper learning. So, this is a huge issue. And then we have science, and we have people who, I guess, who understand what spirituality should be like, but don't want people to evolve and to grow, coming from the government and the darkness, that we are seeing. They push this whole agenda of science is the truth, whereas what people are potentially, I'm hoping, waking up to is the fact that science is paid for by a lot of people who have money, like the pharmaceutical companies, and science can be made up to suit whatever you want it to suit. Science is, it's like science, the idea of science is to be a researcher and to look at every aspect of life or a human being or human body that shows up. And if we're looking at what science actually pushes, that's not, that's not a fact. Like, they don't even recognize that there is a soul, right? So we can't, how can we trust a science that has no recognition that this body that we have, which is absolutely unbelievably incredible, that it can do the things that it can do, that your digestive system can digest food the way that it does without you doing anything, that your heart can beat without you doing anything. The fact that they can't recognize that there is an intelligence that is higher than just a machine, creates a lot of problems. And when you go to school and you're taught this from a very early age and your parents support it, then you have a society of people who cannot think deeply and cannot think outside of what they're being told.
It's my hope that we are at a point in time where there's more of an emphasis on critical thinking and investigation, as opposed to, like you said, relying on the educational system to be the end all be all. And I hope that that's happening. I feel like I'm seeing that in pockets. But there's something that you said that I think is important to discuss. What does deeper learning look like? And for the soul's personal transformation, for personal growth, as you were talking about earlier, some of these like doing like plant medicine or some of those experiences, people, I think they are doing them because they want an answer, they want healing, they're looking for something very quickly, instantaneously, right, to solve all their problems. Or they may even be doing that because they want to know what God is or whatever it is, but they want it very quickly without having to have, the experience of life and what that teaches you. So I feel like your book touches on what that deeper learning is. And I'm wondering if you can shed a little bit light on that, because you talk about the fact that we're not just the body. And I think that's
Yeah.
important, maybe a good starting point.
Well, I think, the deeper learning is, it starts with asking questions and it starts with slowing down and asking new types of questions, not the types of questions that, as we've just said, that are floating around the new age world, but actual questions like, if I do have a soul, what is it? What's it about? What did it come here to learn? How do I help it grow? And as I've actually listened to one of your, or actually quite a few of your episodes, you talked about the soul and the perfection of it, right? And the fact that, again, in the new age worldview, they talk about how the soul's perfect, you're perfect, you don't have to do anything. But in reality, the soul, there's nothing about perfection in a sense. It's about a refinement as opposed to perfection, and an understanding that in the physical world, the soul is here to go through many experiences, and some of them are really tough, some of them are really heavy and sad and deep and dark. And the soul's growth comes from pain at times and struggle and suffering, whereas in the new age way of thinking, the suffering means that you have failed to be perfect. You have failed to not resist something or to, find an easier way. And and this is where the challenge occurs, because most people do not find an easier way, and if they do, their soul is quite blunted. But most people's experience is quite challenging on a daily basis, and to teach them that you're already perfect actually weakens them as opposed to strengthening them. And so what they don't understand is that the soul evolves, and it has evolved for thousands of years. We don't actually have the same soul that we had let's say you do believe in reincarnation, that we had, in Atlantis. And again, I'm seeing and hearing all these people in the New Age industry going, let's reclaim a superhuman or whatever it is that they're talking about from when we were in Atlantis. And it's like, oh my God, you don't understand the basics of the fact that the soul actually develops, and that in Atlantis, we had a completely different soul. During the time of Atlantis, we didn't know how to add 1 + 1 = 2, but we had an ability for ancestral memory where we could remember things from thousands of years back, and animals can still do that. We can see that. So we don't realize that the soul deepens through struggles and challenges that we need to overcome. That's why the soul's here, because it actually wants us to have the courage to face the challenges that we couldn't face in previous timelines. And the idea of the perfection of the soul is actually the idea of working on yourself in terms of your emotions, because the soul is intertwined with the astral body. And again, I write about this, which is the body of desire. It's the body of emotions. It's what makes you uniquely you, because you have different desires than your cousin, your mom, your dad, whoever, right? You are unique in that way. And so the soul learns and grows through experiences, but also through the working on your desires and your emotions, where you can say no to something and you can hold, your soul through the, I guess, through the refinement and awakening of your ego, which also has a really bad rap in the New Age, because everybody thinks the ego's bad. Whereas actually, no, the ego is your unique sense of self, and it has the lower self and the higher self. So the idea is to redeem the lower self by meeting your shadow, by being able to recognize that your shadow qualities are there to teach you lessons as well. And, by you recognizing them, you can gain mastery over them through the development of your higher self, through the development of your internal wisdom and your I am. And it's not here to be dissolved. And again, the fact that we still talk about dissolving the ego shows us that, many people are stuck in the timeline where the Indian civilization was leading, which was right after the sinking of Atlantis. And during that time, we had the seven rishis who were leading that Indian civilization, which was leading the world at the time. And during that time, our I was actually, like a baby. So we were living from the perspective of the group soul. And so, because the development of the I was so at the beginning of the beginning, that the way it was, it could not enter into the spiritual world, and it needed to be dissolved before entering into the spiritual world, because it would have affected the spiritual world at that time in a negative way. So the rishis and many people since then, the yogis and so on, would teach that you had to dissolve the ego. But after Christ came to earth, and initiation changed, and the way that initiates were, meant to be doing their, I guess, their process changed. And the soul changed. So we went from this group soul into let's become an individual and let's take the 10 agreements that we had to be taught and allow them to become a part of us. So we know that we shouldn't kill people, we shouldn't steal from people innately, right? Rather than being taught that, it's like it came into the blood, it became part of us. So the soul grew and transformed, and it has through many, many thousands of years. And now we're at a time, again, from my research and understanding, where we're at the development of the consciousness soul, which is the good news, which is that higher self, wise soul. And I went on a little journey here, but
Okay.
when you come back to, well, the soul is perfect, well, actually, it's not. The soul is far from perfect. The spirit, which people get confused about, is what is the perfect part of us. That's the spark of the divine that we carry, and the spirit is eternal. The soul is different in every lifetime, or it evolves based on previous lifetimes and the fact that in one lifetime I might have a body of a man, and in another lifetime I might have a body of a woman. And also, like we were, saying earlier on, we're in a time of AI at the moment, and we've never had that before. So the souls that are coming in have to adjust themselves to this time and to the fact that we have AI, and how do we work with that? And so in every time period, the soul has to adjust to the parents, to the ancestors, to everything. And the idea of the refinement of the soul has been there for a very long, forever. And the refinement of the soul is the refinement of your emotions, of your reactions, of how you're, of your, essentially of your emotional body. And when somebody completely refines it, that's when they become, I don't know, let's call it a master, or they get to a stage of actually where the angels are. So the way that we know we can separate angels from archangels, from archai, and so on, is based on the refinement of their subtle bodies. And obviously more, there's more to it, but the angels have completely refined, perfected, we can say the word perfected here, astral body. Now, this is the difference between a human and an angel, right? Is that if we had that perfection, we would unlikely to be in the human form unless we were at a place of being, one of those beings like a master that comes here that wants to create enormous change in this physical world. And then somebody, at a level of a Buddha, or Rudolf Steiner is known to be somebody who was like a bodhisattva, I think it's bodhisattva, where he was in between the angel and an archangelic level of consciousness and awareness. And so, these types of people may at times show up because they see what's happening and that we're actually moving in a slightly different direction to the evolution that would be healthy for us. And, they'll come. And they'll bring this incredible wisdom, or they'll open the doors for people who are, just like a general population who are not part of the white or black brotherhoods, to learn some of this information and like the hermetic wisdom, so that we can deepen ourselves to some degree again. But, the practices are, there's so many, and that there's practices that are very specific to the development of the chakras, for instance. So there might be, Rudolf Steiner talks about the six exercises to develop your soul that you need to do, starting from the heart chakra. And the first exercise is all about concentration. And I have to say, I hated doing that exercise at the beginning because, again, in a chaotic world, our minds just go everywhere, right? So to actually sit there and to grab an object like a pencil and to sit there for, 5 to 10 minutes and to concentrate on just this pencil and to generate thoughts only around what this pencil is takes a bit. It takes a bit, And I have to say it's one of the best exercises for your ability to meditate, to think logically, to make better decisions in your life. So I highly recommend it, even though your inner self might resist, especially if you're in a feminine body, which wants color and creativity all the time. That type of meditating, and then there are processes like, wants to awaken your will, and where you just have to do something, and it's not because you need to essentially have a result. So it might be something like, every morning at 10 in the morning, I'm gonna clap 10 times. And what this is about, and again, this didn't come from Rudolf Steiner, this actually came from the mystery schools where people were being taught to become initiates, initiates who had the capacity to enter into spiritual worlds and bring information from the spiritual worlds to us. And before Christ, that would happen for a 3-day period where they would go into the spiritual realms when they were ready. And they usually had, and I might be making this up at this point because I haven't brushed up on it for a while, but I think they had about 12 teachers, like the who were actually protecting their soul. But I could be making this number up at this point, so they will need to check that. But there were teachers that were protecting their soul, which is the complete opposite of essentially what happens in these ceremonies where people take ayahuasca, where they have one person, on 30 or 40 people, like allowing them to do whatever. So very, very different. Yeah, essentially coming back to the will, we need to learn how to work with our own will, meaning we need to make an agreement with ourselves and keep it, because we are way better doing it with other people, but we're constantly breaking agreements within ourselves. There's so many things that actually evolve the soul, and then we have things like, positive thinking, but it's under positive thinking where you pretend, like this whole pretending thing that's happening in, again, in the self-development world slash new age, where it's like, well, if you're not who you want to be, pretend to be that person. And I really get that because I studied acting when I was younger, but essentially, that's not how this works, right? You can't skip over your own soul. The idea is to face, to me, it's like I come from Eastern Europe, so it's like ruthlessly facing your own shadow and what's going on within yourself. And so, positive thinking is not about pretense or saying an affirmation, it's all about, can I turn this around and see this difficult experience as something that's helping me to refine my soul and become more courageous and become stronger? And maybe the weakness that I had in my soul that I came with can be worked through this experience. That's what positive thinking in the kind of esoteric tradition means. It's like, this is really hard. How do I turn this around? This is really painful. How do I turn this around? And then we have, things like open-mindedness. And I actually think it's one of the hardest things that people can practice because they get confused between being gullible and believing everyone with discernment and being open-minded enough to learn things and not to react to things. You know, the same with equanimity. So people think, oh, I don't want to practice equanimity because it's boring. And again, I heard you talk about this in a way in one of your podcasts where you were saying that, you know, the soul needs silence and it needs to be sensitized, because for most people the soul's desensitized, so they need the big experiences and the big emotions all the time to feel alive, right? The passions, as opposed to the subtlety, right? The multidimensional feelings and experiences happen during the time of subtlety, and when there's space that you can experience in between the chaos and your thinking and the constant, you know, loud noises that we're surrounded by. So there's, you know, there's a lot to that, you know, evolving the soul, and then it's having the processes that can help you to transform, which is what I was saying, redeem the shadow, right? Work with the shadow, meet it, and transform it. And this is where the work of, I call him Jung. I think everyone else, maybe everyone else calls him Jung, but I don't know. I don't know why in my mind he's Jung. But maybe in Australia, that's how they, I think that's how we were taught at school. But, you know, essentially, his work was all about understanding the archetypes or parts within us that are connected to other people, but that can help us to recognize, I feel like, partly that we have the feminine and the masculine within each one of us. The fact that, you know, we all go through childhood and the different stages of development, and we can all understand childhood. So the archetypal experience of the inner child is then connected to both the stages of development, but also the fact that, you know, we all experience this child within us at different times in our lives. And so maybe as a child, I did not experience abandonment, but as an adult, when I felt helpless and hopeless in a particular relationship, I experienced abandonment and I felt like a child. And he, what he created in terms of our understanding was that the archetypes were universal patterns of experience. And even though you may not have had the exact same experience as someone else, you can recognize this archetypally, both within yourself and within other people at different ages, and then you can work with it emotionally, and then you can transform it. And so that's the work that I do.
If somebody didn't know where to start, Ina, if they wanted to begin like this healing journey, because to me it is, if I could oversimplify, it really is like continuous healing and evolution, healing and evolution. Where would you suggest they start?
I think that the first step is recognition. Where, you know, where are you stuck? Where are you actually stuck? Be honest, right? You need to start with honesty, because if you start with wanting to find the magic cure, the magic whatever, you know, pill, you're just going to be going round and round in circles. And honesty is the key, and recognizing and redefining responsibility. So, responsibility doesn't mean that you have created, and again, this is very new agey, that you've created every experience that has happened to you because you're not that powerful. Let's just be
Yeah,
honest, right?
exactly. I
Experience that
see.
happened to you. There's many things that came together, karmic experiences and so on, but you can take responsibility for your own healing journey, which means that you can go, this doesn't feel good, it's hard, it's painful, it's traumatic. What can I do to transform this? And can I start with the basics? And the basics are to gain wisdom from your own body, you need to move the body. You can't just sit there and do nothing and just keep going, okay, where is it? How does, like, what's it about? You actually have to create some sort of preparation. I teach that from the perspective of, let's stand up and scan our bodies, meaning be aware, where are you numb? Why, like, what is the numbness about? What is it protecting or hiding? Let's bring our hands to that area. Let's breathe into that area. Start to create some recognition in terms of what are the sensations, which is the soul as well. And the astral body is the sensations we feel inside of ourselves. As we recognize those sensations, we can start to go, all right, well, let's create a symbol around them because we can work with symbols, and symbols is the language of the soul. So let's create a symbol and let's fill that symbol up with a color, which is also the language of the soul. And that's how energy works. It works through colors. That's why our aura is full of colors and our auric field. And the colors actually represent your inner state and your thoughts, beliefs, emotions, and so on. So let's work with what we know of that. And then let's start to connect that to what are the beliefs that we have. And it's usually not just one. What are those beliefs and what are the layers of those beliefs? And from there, let's connect this to our emotions. And from there, let's look at what the experience was. Leads us back to archetypes eventually. I don't necessarily say to people that you need to start with archetypes. You need to start with questions. You need to start with touch. You need to start with movement and breath without forcing or pushing the breath. Because again, those techniques that force and push the breath too much lack the understanding of the etheric body, which is the body of chi and energy and vitality. And the etheric body is a reflection of the physical body, which is why, when somebody has an organ or a part of their body that has been cut out or, like surgically, they can still say, well, I don't have my leg, but I still feel all the sensations of my leg. Well, because, and medicine, I think, calls it phantom leg or something like that. So, well, that phantom is actually the etheric body and the astral body working together. And that phantom leg is essentially the etheric leg that we have because it's the same as the physical. But, if we just ignore it and pretend that it doesn't exist, then, we create all sorts of challenges in our lives. And that's why I say to people, essentially, we want to understand things and when you breathe too intensely, that's where that etheric body starts to separate from the physical. And again, there's a lot of fads around, and there's not a lot of understanding of why a particular fad can help and can hurt, right? And I think that's the challenge that we're living with because people don't realize that, like for instance, a little bit of cold water in the shower can potentially be very refreshing and helpful to you, but going into an ice bath without any real preparation and not understanding how the etheric body works can cause enormous damage, including to your kidneys, which comes from Chinese medicine and the understanding of it. So it's like we're just what's happening is that we're taking one bit of knowledge, and we're running with it and going, okay, this is the real deal, as opposed to, well, actually to have a balanced perspective on anything to do with healing means that you have to see both sides of the coin. You have to look at, okay, why would somebody say that, let's say, cold water helps you, and why could it hurt you, and how and whom? We're not all the same, right? And the same with breath work. For some people, it can open things up and awaken. And I did years and years of both. So I'm not talking from having no understanding. I come from a culture that, again, where, well, firstly, breath work is just a thing that I learned when I was 16, going to acting classes, and I've learned countless techniques since then. And then the whole idea of ice, I mean, I come from Eastern Europe, and very often people think that it somehow, was born from, certain authors that wrote books about it, as opposed to it's been around for thousands and thousands of years in those cultures. And for a reason, for a reason that if you grew up and you were born into a particular culture that that is very used to cold, then your etheric body will work with that cold and will actually adjust to it. But if you grew up in a culture where, it's super hot, and then you start doing this later in life, yeah, you might feel refreshed and you might awaken certain aspects of your immune system, but you can also do a lot of damage to that etheric body, which will start to separate because it has never gotten used to this, over the many years, to this cold. And this is just the such lack of understanding from people and research, because I think, essentially money is most people's god, and they'd rather make money than take the time to understand.
I 100% agree with you, Ina, and I am so glad that you were able to join us for today. And if people want to connect with you, how can they find you?
So they can go to my website, which is inasegal.com, INASEGAL.com, and they can look at some of the master classes that I have created. Some of them are free. There are some that cost a little bit. Actually, there's programs that have a small cost to them, where people can start to, enter this journey of healing from various perspectives and really learn how to connect with their own bodies. Because at the end of the day, what I'm going to say is that giving your power to the medical professionals without having any internal development or awareness is very dangerous in the world that we live in. It doesn't mean that they can't help. It doesn't mean that you should not have surgery if you need it. But it does mean that if you don't have an internal connection to your own body and its wisdom and the understanding that it has, you will potentially be taking down a path that affects your soul, affects your body, affects your mind, affects your emotions, and can, keep you in pain and struggle that you didn't necessarily need. I'm against creating extra pain and struggle in your life that you don't need. I think the easier way is the wise way.
I Yes, that is the best way. And I would also like to say your book, The Secret Language of Your Body, that people should definitely take a look at that. There's a lot of extremely insightful information that is helpful for people's, independent healing journey. So again, Ina, thank you so much for being a guest today, and I look forward to connecting with you again
Thank you.
soon.
Thank you so much.